'Tis the last will and testament of the late Louisa Catherine.
I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. She's left us nothing. She had all that and we get nothing.
There is this letter, ma'am. It's addressed to you and marked private.
A letter for me? Quick. Quick, where is it?
Here it is. My instructions were to give it to you after the reading of the will.
My dear Alice, I can imagine how annoyed
you are at this moment. I haven't left you and that parasite of a son of yours a penny. It all goes to Catherine, whom you have often referred to as that colorless, unattractive girl. Well, she gets everything. Not because I care for her. I, too, find her colorless and unattractive. But I have to leave the estate to someone. Anyone but you, dear sister. You've had quite enough. You've always loathed me, yet were hypocrite enough to pretend love and devotion because of the money. Now it's gone. You and your son are on your own. Happy hunting. With fondest love, Louisa.
Well, ma'am, and what are your sister's instructions? Mrs. Mason, what are your sister's instructions?
Oh, she explains everything.
Satisfactorily?
Oh, of course, most satisfactorily. Well, now the will's been read, you'll excuse me. Come, David.
I followed Mother, as I always followed Mother. She was small and elegant. I was tall and gangling and laughably shy because of her. She did it to me because she answered for me always. She lived my life for me. I had prayed for money from Aunt Louisa's estate, but there was none for me. There was no way I could escape this stifling love and devotion and possession, no way at all. I followed her to the car and noticed a letter gripped firmly in her immaculately gloved hand. I didn't realize it then, but that letter was to be the key to my freedom. It was to open my cage door and let me fly. But before that happened, I had to stare at the bottomless pit of horror. I had to witness the biter bit.
Silent herald of life and death, success or failure, the unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
When I parked the car and we walked into the house, but I could read the signs. A tight mouth and hard brown eyes. She was in a devil of a temper. Then suddenly she seemed to explode, and the words poured from her.
Louisa was amused when she wrote that letter, amused, and I could imagine the smile on her face. I'm getting even with Alice. I suppose she sat there and thought this is going to be great fun. Oh, what a wonderful opportunity to strike back.
What did she write in the letter?
Read it. Read it. Go on. It affects your future as well. She calls you a parasite, David. When I think of what you did for her, fetching and carrying without a word of complaint, what other man would have shown her such kindness and consideration? And she thanks you by calling you a parasite, ridiculing you, and leaving everything to that wretched girl, Catherine. Well, what do you think of that letter from your dear aunt?
Did you loathe her, Mother?
Of course, and you blame me. Do you? That letter proves the kind of woman she was.
But if you felt like that, why did you live here with her?
Where else could I live, silly boy? Your father decamped and left me no money at all. I had to make my home somewhere. Louisa lived in this tremendous house. She was alone. Of course, this should have been mine originally.
Oh?
She married the man I loved and who truth loved me. She stole him with false promises. Your father came and I accepted him on the rebound.
I see.
But I didn't love him. How could I after the way he treated us? You do understand that, don't you, David? It wasn't my fault, the rift in my marriage. It was his. And I brought you here because I felt this was your life. I did it all for you, David.
Of course. You did it all for me.
When I think of how I waited on Louisa, how I nursed her those last months, morning, noon, and night, I never left her. Then what thanks do I get? This slap in the face. We'll have to leave this house, of course. I suppose Catherine will take over. The lady of the manor. What will that immature, callow girl do with all this house? How can she entertain?
I suppose she'll get married.
Some waster who'll squander all Louisa's money. Anyway, I'm not giving up all that easy.
What do you mean? There's nothing you can do, Mother. Aunt Louisa made that will, and you can't contest it.
Perhaps not.
Mother didn't say anything else after that. But she sat a long time looking down over the rolling green lawns. She was thinking. I knew the signs. It was no good talking to her, so I left her there. And it was an hour later that she came into my room.
Darling, I've been thinking about Catherine. We should help her.
Help her? But Mother, you said that...
I know what I said, darling, but I was angry. I allowed everything to get beyond me. I've been reflecting back over everything. And after all, it was Louisa's money, wasn't it? She was entitled to leave it as she wished. Oh, darling, don't you look so surprised.
Well, this is a change of attitude.
I was shocked when I heard the reading of that will. Shocked and disappointed. Now I've had time to see everything in perspective. We must ask Catherine to come down. We must extend the hand of friendship, darling. You must be very nice to her.
But
I'll phone her now. After all, she has no one. She's completely alone, and I dare say this news has astonished and even frightened her a little.
Frightened her?
Well, the responsibility and all that. It's tremendous for one so young. £80,000. A great deal of wealth. £80,000. And all this. We mustn't envy her, darling. We must pity her. Now, where's her number? Ah, yes. All written here in dear Louisa's own handwriting. After I've spoken, you take over, darling, and tell her you'd be delighted to call and collect her.
But, Mother, I can't stand Catherine.
You do as you're told, David.
Yes, Mother.
And if we play our hands right, we may show a nice little profit on this deal.
Catherine Mason's me.
Darling, it's your Aunt Alice.
Oh, hello.
We would so love you to come down and stay, and then you can settle in permanently later on.
Well, don't
say no, darling, and spoil everything for David. He's looking forward to your company, and he says, bring your tennis things, as the weather is beautiful at the moment. Wait a minute, darling, let him talk to you. Here you are, David.
But, Mother...
Talk to her.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello, David.
What about coming down, as Mother suggested?
Well, you're very kind.
Tennis. Mention tennis.
It's good weather for tennis.
You collect her, and sound enthusiastic.
I'll come up and collect you, if you like.
Well, I was thinking of buying a car, so I could drive down.
Oh, you'll come, then?
Yes. Yes, thank you, I will. I'll phone back later and confirm the day, if you don't mind. There are a few things I have to do.
Very well, then. Goodbye.
Well, I must say you didn't sound enthusiastic, David. It was a deplorable performance. It was enough to put her off completely.
She's coming down, Mother, and that's what you wanted, isn't it? She's buying a new car.
So, a new car. She's spending the money even before she gets it. A new car. Our little Catherine is launching out. And it's our money, too. That's the wretched part of it. It's our money, David. Belongs by right to you and me. And that little chit is spending it. I suppose it'll be one of those flashy, expensive cars.
Mother, if you feel this way about her, why ask her down? Why?
Because it's the way I plan it. That's why.
You plan it? Mother, what are your plans? What are you going to do?
Get what is mine by right.
The money? But you can't.
Darling, you leave all this to me.
What are you going to do? You must tell me.
Don't worry yourself with this, David. Now, there's a good boy. I must slip along and arrange the spare room for Catherine. We must make her very welcome.
She bustled away, busy with her plans and her thoughts. She was my mother, but there were times when I feared her, and this was one of them. I hardly saw her until Catherine finally arrived, driving a sleek new sports car. My mother looked at it, and her eyes reflected disapproval. But her voice was as smooth as silk.
Darling, how beautiful. A lovely new car.
Yes. Isn't it nice?
And red's so pretty. David, do help Catherine with her luggage.
Of course, yes.
I suppose I should really say, welcome home. Because that is what the manor is now, isn't it? Your home.
Oh, Aunt Alice, about everything. I don't want the manor. It's too large for me, and I wouldn't be happy living here, knowing that this was really your home.
But darling, Louisa left it to you.
I believe she didn't. There must have been some mistake. These things do happen in people's wills. Oh, please don't move out of the manor. Take it.
That's very sweet of you. But a great home like this takes a fortune to keep up. Oh, no. You take it over. David and I have made plans. Now, let me take you to your room. I've decided to put you in Louise's bedroom. You don't mind? The spare room is being painted. Come along, darling. This way.
Once again, I followed my mother obediently. But this time, my mind seethed with thoughts. Why Louise's bedroom? The spare one wasn't being painted. Was this something to do with my mother's plans? I caught her eye a moment. She was enjoying herself hugely, playing a magnificent part. Then I asked myself a question. I wonder what she's up to. I couldn't guess, but I felt the icy prickle of fear. The first inkling Mother gave me of her plans was that night, shortly before dinner.
David, stop pacing up and down and listen to me. I need your help.
My help?
I have never asked you for it before, but I do so now. I need your help. You've always considered yourself an actor, haven't you?
Well, I...
This is your opportunity to prove it. At dinner, I'm turning the conversation towards the return of departed souls.
The return of departed...
I do wish you wouldn't repeat everything I say. We shall talk of Louisa. We shall talk of her presence, still here at the manor. We shall talk of the return of the dead to the places they love.
But Mother...
I shall expect some help from you, David.
Help from me?
You've done it again. Repeat it after me. I do wish you wouldn't do it.
But I know nothing about such things.
Nor do I. But we shall both weave a convincing story. A prelude, as it were, to the actual drama which will take place later in the evening.
What are you talking about?
Louisa is going to return this evening.
What?
She won't materialize, of course. Nothing like that. But she'll speak to Catherine.
Oh, but Mother...
She'll speak to her inarticulately at first. Then gradually her voice will clear. And she'll talk of another will.
Another will?
Made a short while before her death. A new will, in which, as a gesture of gratitude, she leaves me the sum of £20,000.
Oh, but this will doesn't exist.
On the contrary, darling, it does exist. Here. You see? Her signature. A perfect forgery. And witnesses. Everything above board.
You did this?
Yes.
But old Ratcliffe won't believe.
Even if he doesn't, she will. You saw how she was. Embarrassed about everything.
I thought she was rather decent offering you the house.
I'm getting the house and £20,000. That leaves her quite enough for her simple needs.
Mother, you're never going to get away with this. You can't.
That is the negative kind of attitude your father would have adopted. Of course I'm getting away with it. Louisa will speak of the will. She will indicate where it is hidden. She will find it and show it to Ratcliffe. He may not believe. He may well have his suspicions and his doubts. But there is no evidence that this is a forgery. Don't forget, I never disclosed the contents of her letter to him. I kept that to myself. And I intend to burn it now. There. That belongs to the past.
Oh, you mustn't do this. Please, you mustn't.
That from you? And I'm doing this for you. I don't want the money. It means nothing to me. Neither does this house. But you've no career, no profession. You must be protected from life. And money only can do it. I know you aren't a fighter, darling. You're sensitive and you don't like trouble. But leave this to me. First, a tape recorder. You see? I've been practicing Louise's voice. Listen.
Look, look, look. Desk. Hidden drawer. Hidden drawer.
How's that?
For pity's sake, don't do this. It can only lead to trouble. What if she dies of shock? What then?
That is extremely unlikely. Women of that description are horribly healthy.
Well, she might get hysterical or anything.
All the better. Now, all I ask of you, David, is to assist me.
I won't do it.
Of course you will, silly boy. May you run along and dress for dinner. At 7:30, knock on her door and take her downstairs. I'll slip into Louise's room and make the final arrangements.
But Mother...
There isn't much time, David. Now, do as I say, quickly.
From then on, it became a nightmare. And I was powerless to resist the strength of my mother. You can condemn and criticize if you will. You can say what you like. I was weak and spineless. Oh, yes, I've said all that to myself many times. It was at dinner that Mother twisted the conversation with almost diabolical cunning.
I do hope you'll be comfortable, Catherine.
The room looks beautiful, Aunt Alice.
I feel most distressed having to put you there. After all, that was Louise's room.
Oh, but that doesn't make me afraid. She was such a sweet person. I'm sure her influence could be only for the very kindest.
Well, I'm glad you're adopting that attitude, darling. Especially as...
As what, Aunt Alice?
Well, I'd rather not talk about it.
Oh, no, please, tell me.
Well, this is really David's story. Do you mind if I tell Catherine? Well, of course you don't. You see, the day after Louise's death, David saw her.
You saw her?
Only a pinpoint of light, wasn't it, darling? But her voice was unmistakable.
She spoke
softly and with the greatest effort. But she was distressed about something, wasn't she, David? She seemed to be sobbing.
But...
I know you didn't want me to tell Catherine, darling. But she's very level-headed and she should know. After all, if you love someone, it's comforting to know that they're around, isn't it?
Well, yes, but...
Now, let's not talk any more about it. We mustn't make you worried.
By the end of the meal, Catherine had unbent completely, and I found myself liking her more and more as the evening wore on. Then, finally, the clock struck 11, and Mother rose to her feet.
Darlings, it's so late. Just look at the time. But it's been a most enjoyable evening.
Oh, I've enjoyed myself tremendously. Thank you, Aunt Alice.
Tomorrow it's tennis for you. Anything to exercise this lazy boy here.
No, I haven't played tennis for ages, but it should be fun.
I thought you were very keen on it.
Well, I had to give it up some time ago.
Oh?
I had heart trouble.
Heart trouble?
Oh, but it's all right now.
I've no idea, Catherine. But then, of course, we haven't seen much of each other, have we? Anyway, we'll remedy that in the future, won't we? Well, here's your room, dear. Oh, good. Peters has remembered to light the fire. There's a bell if you need anything. And I do hope you sleep wonderfully.
Thank you, Aunt Alice. You've really been very kind.
Good night, darling. Be seeing you in the morning.
Good night, David.
Good night.
Well, that went magnificently. But no thanks to you, David. You were no help at all. You contributed nothing. I had to create the whole atmosphere.
Because I felt thoroughly ashamed of myself, that's why.
David.
You told that unfortunate girl a pack of ghastly lies.
Keep your voice down or she'll hear.
I hope she does. Mother, you aren't going through with this.
If you intend to work yourself into hysterics, kindly leave me and go to bed immediately. We'll wait until 12 o'clock. That is the witching hour.
Mother, she's a decent girl. Don't frighten her out of her wits. And remember what she said about her heart. What'll happen if she dies? What then? There'll be the police. There'll be questions, and I couldn't stand it.
The trouble with you, David, is that you're a coward.
I'm not a criminal, and that's what you are.
I'm only claiming what is mine by right.
Ask her for it, then. She'll understand, and don't stoop to this deception. She'll give you the wretched money.
That is extremely unlikely. Now, let's not stand out here in the passage arguing. We'll go downstairs and wait until 12 o'clock. Come along, David.
Once again, I followed her obediently. But this time, my whole being rebelled against her. For the first time, I found myself disliking her. Then, in some peculiar way, she seemed to sense what I felt, because she looked up at me with her hooded brown eyes and said,
"It's no good hating me, David. I'm doing this for you."
"I don't want you to do it for me. I can manage."
"Darling, let's be realistic. You've never done a day's work in all your young life. You've sat back and given me the privilege of waiting on you."
"That's the way you wanted it, because of your domination."
"Darling, how ridiculous you are. And do stop shouting. Oh, good. It's 12 o'clock. Now we put part two into operation. The recorder has been hidden behind her wardrobe. But the switch is in the passage. It was really very clever of me. Then we'll wait and see what happens. It should be most interesting."
The passage was pitch black, and there seemed a clamminess permeating the whole atmosphere. It almost seemed that one of the dead was with us. I stood back and watched her, with hate in my heart, for her and my weakness. She had it all organized perfectly. She bent to switch on a machine, and as she did so, I knew we weren't alone. There was someone else. I backed away, seeking to escape the malignancy of the presence. I gasped, but Mother was preoccupied with her plans. I remember she turned.
"David, for goodness sake, what's the matter?"
Don't you feel it? Don't you?"
"Feel it? Feel what?"
There's someone."
"What are you talking about? There's no one. Now, don't try and distract me, David."
"Let's leave. There is someone. Something. There is."
"Of course there isn't any..."
She turned sharply from me, and her eyes widened with horror as she gazed with frightened intensity towards the end of the passage. I could see nothing. Then she gasped,
"Louisa! Louisa, you..."
I could hear nothing. I could see nothing. But I was aware of the rising tide of animosity and hate. Then, suddenly, my mother covered her eyes with her hands. She stumbled backwards.
"No, Louisa! No!
She turned. She tried to run, but she crashed to the floor with a scream of sheer terror that made my blood run cold. She lay quietly, but I knew even before I touched her, she was dead. The doctor came and the police came. There were many questions, and there'll be many more. They found the tape recorder and the switch. I remember our old lawyer, Ratcliffe.
"Things are going to be difficult for you, David. There are so many explanations needed."
"But I've told you everything, Mr. Ratcliffe. She stumbled and she was dead before I got to her."
"This just seems an unfortunate affair. We can only wait for the doctor's report to be phoned through. It's unsatisfactory, and you can't blame the police feeling as they do. Your mother planned to frighten Catherine into handing over the money by imitating Miss Louisa's voice. And then suddenly, the deceased rarely arrives."
"Well, that's what did happen. I didn't see her, but my mother did. I swear it to you."
"But it's so unlikely, and..." "Excuse me, that might be the doctor." "Yes? Yes?" "Well, most extraordinary. Yes, well, yes. Very well, thank you."
"Well, and what was the cause of death?" "Well?"
"It was extraordinary. It seems that your mother died of fright."
Time. The silent herald of life and death. success or failure, the unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.